Ovo je test razumijevanja oslušanog teksta iz stranog jezika. Sastoji se od dva zadatka. Svaki snimak slušat ćete dva puta. Imaćete dovoljno vremena da pročitate pitanja prije nego što čujete tekst i da provjerite svoje odgovore. Dok slušate, možete upisivati svoje odgovore u test knjižicu. Poslije slušanja imaćete dva minuta da provjerite svoje odgovore. Prvi zadatak. Imate dva minuta da pročitate pitanja.
The textbook image of an astronomer at work is someone in a white lab coat on top of a freezing mountain peering into an enormous telescope. Except for the mountain, that image is a century out of date. The huge telescopes on Earth today are laden with such complex instruments that only a handful of people are trained to work them. As part of our series, You Do What?, NPR's Ted Robbins introduces us to a telescope operator.
My name is Michael Alegria. I work for the MMT Observatory. We're on the summit of Mount Hopkins in Amado, Arizona.
MMT stands for Multiple Mirror Telescope, though today it uses one large mirror. Michael Alegria is one of three people who know how to operate it. He's not an astronomer, he's an engineer.
I make sure the telescope's pointed where it needs to be pointed, the instrument is doing what it's supposed to be doing, and everything else associated with that.
The simplest part of Alegria's workday, or rather night, comes shortly after he starts, around 4 in the afternoon. He uses a hand winch to roll up the shade covering the 6.5-meter telescope mirror.
Get the blood moving.
Then the 30-ton observatory doors roll silently aside, opening the dome to the sky hours before dark, so the temperature outside matches the temperature inside.
With a piece of glass this big, if you have temperature differences between the night air and the glass, but distorts the seeing.
While the mirror cools, Alegria climbs down the stairs into the telescope's control room, where he'll spend the night. The room is about 10 feet wide and 50 feet long. One side is completely filled with computer monitors. About half are for the astronomers, the other half are for Alegria.
I have 48 different windows I keep track of.
Tonight, the team is testing a new laser pointer star, a laser beam shooting into the sky, which helps the telescope focus on distant objects.
It's doing something. It's doing something right.
Once the bugs are worked out, astronomer Michael Hart and his team from the University of Arizona sit next to Alegria.
video. I have an error. Loop open, no offloading done now.
Over and over, some software glitch seems to be stopping things. To an observer, that seems like a recipe for boredom, but not to Mike Alegria.
Even if it's the same program, you've got different targets. The telescope may behave a little bit differently. The weather's always different.
He's been a telescope operator here 8 years, 4 years after he started work at the MMT as a student. Again, Mike Alegria is not an astronomer, but he says he's loved astronomy ever since his mother gave him a telescope when he was a kid.
Of course, I tore it apart to see how it worked and could never get it properly aligned again. But
that's what is this your first clue that you're right. going to be an operator, not an astronomer, right?
Now, astronomers like Michael Hart couldn't get along without Mike Alegria's engineering ability.
Mike is my hero. Mike makes this whole telescope operate single-handedly.
You're serious?
Yeah, I'm serious. I mean, we would not be here conducting these experiments if Mike were not here to support us.
Astronomers at the MMT have made major finds. New black holes, dwarf galaxies, planets outside our solar system, even last year confirming the presence of water on the moon. Mike Alegria says he's not looking for any credit. He just enjoys being part of the process and witnessing the discoveries. Ted Robbins, NPR News, Tucson.
Imate 15 sekundi da provjerite svoje odgovore. Ovo je kraj prvog zadatka. Drugi zadatak. Imate 2 minuta da pročitate pitanja.
That was the overture to the third act of Verdi's La Traviata, played by the Orchestra of La Scala Milan, conducted by Arturo Toscanini. That was a 1951 performance there, Anna Del Conte. And you met Toscanini later, is that right?
Yes. I mean, meet is the wrong word. I just saw him and he said, Che bella bambina, what a pretty girl. But that was all.
That's pretty good, better than most of us get. Tell us then about this family of yours. You
yes.
were living in Milan. What was your father in business? What did he do? What was his job?
My father was a stockbroker, came from a quite a bourgeois family. And so did my mother, who came from, well, a more aristocratic background.
What was your mother like?
My mother?
Yes.
She was quite beautiful, in fact. She was not, I can't explain, she was not exceptionally warm to us, but she was a very good mother, in spite of not being warm. She loved us, she cuddled us, but at the same time she was a certain coolness in her.
Was she afraid slightly of spoiling you or making you...
Oh, certainly she was afraid of making me vain. She never said how good I was, how pretty I was, how intelligent I was, nothing. My generation were never praised, just in case we should become vain, and vain was the worst sin that you could possibly commit.
What about you with your children then?
Well, that's what I was going to say. Even I, far less than my daughter. My daughter keeps on saying how beautiful they are, how clever they are. Fine, I agree. I would agree. But there are limits. They can't all be beautiful and clever.
And was your mother a cook?
Oh, yes. A very good cook. We had a cook, which was Maria, which was my great friend. But my mother was in charge and she did quite a lot. And don't forget that the Italians do not like novelties in their food. They like the same thing made better and better.
Imate 15 sekundi da provjerite svoje odgovore. Ovo je kraj drugog zadatka. Sada imate 2 minuta da pregledate svoje odgovore. Ovo je kraj testa razumijevanja odslušanog teksta.